Top of the morning, everyone. I got Jim D'Lo here and Eric Rodon, who's the Assistant Director of Marketing and Enrollment. It is hump day. I'm getting a little bit comfortable up here like Jimmy D'Lo. Jimmy's going to ask some questions with Eric Rodon as we dive into what he does for Big Shoulders. And Eric is a Bishop Noah alum, so happy to have him here.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, man, by the way, I am Jim D'Lo. Am I showing up there? Is my audio good? Thanks a lot. This is the D. Marrero podcast, and I just kind of sit in. I own the radio station and the TV here. But you just said you feel comfortable here. Did that finally happen?
Yeah, finally felt comfortable. A lot of people, I went to Greg Jones' showcase at Hammond Morton this week, and a lot of people have been tuning in on Wednesday morning, and they mentioned the last episode with Senator Melton, and they enjoyed that episode a lot. And you helped me, obviously, be in this position, and that's when I had Eric scheduled early last month, and he didn't know I was going to have Senator Melton on, so it was a nice little transition to have Eric follow up with Senator Melton.
And so, once again, you can catch this podcast on Apple or Spotify, but we do record it live on TV and radio here in Hammond, Indiana. How many episodes do you have now?
Like episode 168.
That's a lot of episodes.
It's a lot of episodes. One of my short-term goal is 200 episodes, so I'm hoping that we could hit that goal probably by June, for the most part.
And we're glad to have DeJuan on here, but we did talk ahead of time. We had Senator Melton. He's going to be running for Mayor of Gary. So I'm like, hey, you get Melton on, you got to get Prince. Otherwise, you're going
to
hear it.
Yeah, so Prince, if you're listening, you know, DeJuan Murrow wants you on the podcast, or I'll come down to downtown Gary right next to the Railcat Stadium. So
yeah.
I know where his office is at.
I know this guy.
Do you?
He played at Bishop Noel.
Yes, sir.
Feisty.
You know, he was the athletic director, too.
Yes.
For a short stint at Bishop Noel.
3 years, right?
3 years, from 2019 till March of 2022.
So the rotation here is I come in and I sit with DeJuan for a few minutes, and then I go to work out where DeJuan normally goes and works out. He couldn't go today because he's got to do the podcast, but I'm out of here shortly. Eric, Big Shoulders Fund has made a huge statement here in Northwest Indiana. I mean, just especially for the Catholics around. Tell them what you do.
Yes, so we basically support and are a resource to 19 schools in the Diocese of Gary here in Northwest Indiana. Initially, Big Shoulders Fund has been Chicago, servicing schools in that area in the Archdiocese of Gary since 1986, I believe. But we were fortunate enough, because of a generous gift from the Dean of Barbara White Family Foundation back in 2019, to basically bring our services here to Northwest Indiana. Right now, we're a team of four. When I joined the team in March, they doubled from two to four, and we've been fortunate to serve and be a resource to 19 schools, three high schools, and 16 elementary schools here in Northwest Indiana, as far north as Whiting, as far south as Crown Point, and as far east as the Michigan City LaPorte area. And we provide as much assistance as possible. Initially, when Big Shoulders Fund started in Chicago, it was more of a scholarship organization, trying to help inner city kids have the opportunity to go to private schools. But since then, we've grown tremendously and provide anything from professional development opportunities, training, marketing and enrollment, which is the area that I'm in to help, you know, boost the enrollment of our schools, leadership conferences, leadership opportunities, basically any facet that the school needs to be successful, we try to help as much as possible.
As some of you guys may know, I traded at the Board of Trade for 18 years, and a couple of the guys that I did business with, that was their charity, Big Shoulders Fund, and it was all for scholarships. And I think more now it's to keep the Catholic schools open. Back then it was to provide actual scholarships for low and middle income people.
Exactly. It was mostly scholarships to start. Like I said, we've been fortunate enough to grow to provide other services. But in the recent years, especially in Chicago, they've had the opportunity, because some schools were in the coming up of potentially closing due to certain different reasons right before COVID. And they're fortunate to do a plus model, which basically allows them to kind of take ownership of those schools, the organization, where everyone still, you know, has their job, does everything they do, but we take a little bit more of the onus on, you know, the financial side and the day, you know, they run the day to day, we run the back end financials to make sure that the school is in good shape and try to keep it from closing and to continue to be a beacon within the communities that they serve.
Yeah, just to give it some context, it was not voluntary that I had to write a check to Big Shoulders, in that some of the big traders would be like, you need to give us, you know, and it doesn't, and don't give me three decimals. It needs to be four digits, easy. Yeah. And that has been able to build that up. But the Dean and Barbara White donation, did they put a number on how much was?
It was $16 million over 10 years.
Yeah, $16 million. Wow. Going into Catholic schools.
Exactly.
Now, I know you guys are going to get into this, Dewan, but right. I wanted to just give my perspective on that as having donated to Big Shoulders when it was just scholarships back in the day at the Board of Trade. And I think a lot of people that may have worked in or do work in Chicago, they're like, man, why is Chicago coming down here and kind of, you know, why are they administering it? Well, Dean and Barbara White looked at it and said, you know, this is the best way to do it. Because Mike Dooley, that was his name.
Okay.
Do you know him?
Name sounds familiar.
Yeah, Dooley was involved in I had to write, I mean, anyways, he was a trader I was with. I know he's involved with this organization. But it is basically administered out of Chicago, but there's a lot of money coming into Northwest Indiana. You really think you'll be able to keep some of these schools open?
Absolutely. I think we'll be able to keep all of them open. I think all of them are in actually very good shape, considering some of the situations that Chicago had to take on in the Archdiocese over the last few decades. They're pretty much most of them are thriving. We're able to boost a second consecutive year of enrollment increase here in Northwest Indiana at our private Catholic schools. And this year, we were able to happily say that our schools have increased by 5% from last year to this year in enrollment. So they're doing a great job, and we're just here to provide assistance to keep them on the right path and continue to boost that enrollment for them and just make sure that they're, again, providing the best quality education they can for their community.
I mean, we're talking here on this side. I mean, you get St. Stan, St. Mary, St. Thomas, SJB, St. John Bosco, St. John the Baptist, St. John the Baptist Bosco, and then St. SJE is St. John the Evangelist. I mean, you know, I know these pretty well as being a longtime Catholic, and a couple of them I thought were going to close, but I'm hopefully Big Shoulders has been able to give them the boost because I haven't heard anybody closing.
No, I don't think any of them are in that realm of even consideration at this point. And I wouldn't even say that that's on us. I think by the time we came in 2019, obviously there was a pandemic, everyone navigated, you know, the pandemic tremendously to get through it. And we're all on the other side of it now. And I don't think any of them are close. And that's, you know, that's probably more to boast what they've done to make sure that they were able to keep their doors open more than us. We're just here to support, and we're here to provide, you know, the services they need. And they've done a tremendous job, and now that we're on the other end of it, we just want to continue to be a service and provide as much opportunity for them to continue to grow.
So I'm Jim Dedlow, and Dewan lets me sit in, and then I go and I take his spot at our exercise class. So I'm going to head out right now. But I'm glad to I've covered your games when you played for BNI, and I'm sure you guys are going to talk basketball also. But let us know what we can do here. I know you guys are doing some advertising or whatever, but you know we push that kind of stuff. I had a guy on today that Bob Grand about the Purdue Northwest scholarship, and you know that's what we try to do is make sure the money that people got money, man. Mm-hmm. They're looking for places. Big Shoulders keeping these Catholic schools open, especially if you're a Catholic and you went one of these schools. You need to be given some money back, and that needs to be hit to the rich Catholics.
I mean, it's
and that's how the only way to say that.
All of those schools, and I'm sure you know, I went to the schools too.
Which one did you go to?
I went to St. John the Baptist from preschool to eighth grade in Whiting. So did my brother and sister, and then I went to Bishop Knoll for 4 years. My wife went to Bishop Knoll for the same 4 years I was there. And
what was her maiden name?
Ashley Cervantes.
Okay, that's what I thought.
She was there for the same 4 years I was there, and now our son is a second grader at St. John the Baptist. So, and then I worked at St. Thomas More, then I went back and worked Bishop Knowles. So yeah, I've been fully immersed in it. It's made me who I am, and it's just a great opportunity to be in a role to continue to serve those.
St. Thomas More, of course, is where I went and have a long affiliation there, and I know that you were there, and Hofferth is still the what's her first name?
Samantha.
Sam Hofferth is a chiropractor by trade, and she went over there and took the vow, and man, she's been doing a great
job. She's done a tremendous job. They're one of the schools that has boosted a huge enrollment increase over the last year or two, so she's doing a great job.
You guys also need to talk about the credit from the state.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a big factor. What's that called again?
It's the school choice program.
School choice. Yes. And that is a little controversial. But hey, man, you okay? Thanks for letting me come in and go and take over for
me.
I want to say this about DeJuan. And I told this to Eddie Melton. Eddie Melton sitting in your chair last week. I said, DeJuan, I don't know if you understand exactly where you can take this because you listen to people.
Right.
That is a talent that I saw from the beginning. Most people don't know how to listen. You listen, you're going to interview this guy, you'll listen to
him. Well, Big Shoulders, that's the question I was going to ask. Like, what led Eric to dive into that position at Big Shoulders after being a sports guy, athletic director, played basketball, that's your alma mater, and then you just jumped into this, you know, big business. My question is why, and I know a lot of other people who's listening to you and heard you break down what Big Shoulders is about. Who influenced you to be in that position?
So when I started at Knoll in 2019, that was actually around the same time that Big Shoulders Fund started here in Northwest Indiana. So obviously being one of the schools within the diocese, I had heard about who they were, didn't really know much about the organization, but I knew how excited our principal was, Lorenzo Pastrick, was about, you know, what they could do to help the schools in the area with resources and, you know, all the things that we just talked about. So I kind of kept involved, and again, obviously a pandemic hit very quickly, and you know, as they were still tremendously involved and provided tons of help throughout that, you know, year and a half to 2 year span. But you know, I was more focused on athletics. I was more focused on, you know, what our day to day looked like with sports and, and our teams are going to play, and you know, are they going to have to get quarantined and all that. That, you know, there was probably a few months to a year that I probably didn't keep up as well with the organization and what they were doing. But then on the other end of it, there was an opportunity that arose, and I started to really realize that I started to really enjoy the marketing side of athletics and the social media marketing and the community outreach and, you know, the graphics and the videos and stuff like that, and getting the kids excited about playing sports and getting their families excited about, you know, sending their kids to Bishop Knoll to play sports because they knew that they were going to get taken care of and they were going to have an opportunity to not only play but be showcased and highlighted.
Speaking of sports, obviously we saw the tragic incident with DeMar Hamlin of the Buffalo Bills. You have a little one, and he's very active in sports.
Yes.
You know, I don't have any kids, but I'm a mentee to a lot of kids, right? And they're growing up and they're trying out for football and basketball. When you saw that incident take place and you know you have a little one who's very active in sports, what was going through your mind?
It's scary.
For him.
Yeah, it's definitely scary, especially he played football in the spring. He loves football. I didn't play football growing up, never played it.
Neither did I.
So I didn't have any family members playing football either. I love the sport. I love watching it. But he wanted to play flag in the spring, and we did that during baseball season. And then he wanted to try tackle. And tackle was wonderful. It was great, amazing organization at Northlake here in the North Hammond area, Whiting, Robertsdale community. He had a great time, and luck, fortunate, you know, he didn't get injured or anything, but it is scary. But there also is a certain level of, you know, I got injured a bunch playing basketball. I got injured a bunch playing baseball. And unfortunately, those sorts of freak accidents are going to happen. And, you know, it is scary, though, to think about, especially at a young age, because the more that, you know, I think information that we've got on potentially what happened to DeMar Hamlin shows that, you know, it's happened in other sports, potentially with, you know, baseball hitting a kid's chest at a young age when they're not fully developed and having similar symptoms. And, you know, you kind of take a step back and realize how precious life is and that sports really isn't, you know, the biggest priority. But, you know, it's unfortunately a risk in all sports.
Yeah.
And it's hard. It's hard. But, you know, you also don't want the kids to grow up scared to go out there.
And I know a lot of people was so unsure if the game was going to resume, right? You had the fan base, like, wow, the game should still go on. And then you have the other crowd where it's like, no matter what, the game should stop. But one of my questions is like, okay, if I pay $3,000-$4,000, do I get that money back? You know, I'm waiting to hear that solution also, you know, despite the injury, because that happened in the first quarter. A lot of people who didn't see the game, they thought it was the fourth quarter, but that first quarter you spent a lot of money. What do you say to those fans who spent the revenue there?
Yeah, and it's tough.
Right.
And I'm sure a lot of people are asking that question, but I think the bigger picture is what we've seen so far on social media is that those fans on both sides have been, from what we're seeing, super supportive. I think humanity sets in at a certain point for all of us, and we realize that, you know, the money, the sport, all of that doesn't mean anything. You know, as precious as life is, you know, you don't want anyone to
Did you see Skip Bayless' tweet?
Yeah. Skip, I saw that one.
Skip was getting a lot of
criticism.
Yeah, he was a part of that cancel community, and Shannon Sharpe didn't come in that following day. So I'm looking forward to seeing the follow-up on Undisputed on what took place. Eric, you graduated 2012 or 2011?
2012.
You was in my class. Who was your coach?
Drew Trost.
Drew Trost. And how far did you guys go in postseason at Bishop Noe?
My junior year, we were fortunate to go undefeated and make it all the way to the state championship game. So,
what was that experience like?
Awesome.
Going down I-65.
It was one of the most memorable moments probably of my life. I joke with everyone that I don't remember an ounce of school like that time, and I was there every day when, you know, obviously went through all my classes, and, you know, I was fortunate enough to be an honor student, so there was still a lot of homework and a lot of grinding out that I had to do during that time. But I was fortunate that
who's your teammates too?
Name some of your teammates, yeah. If you remember. Of our senior class, you know, we had Jose Rosario, Dean Danos. Oh well, Dean wasn't on the championship team; he came in senior year. But Adonis Filer, who was a year above me, John Dotson, who's currently the head coach at Bishop Noe now, that I was fortunate enough to hire while I was there, and has done a tremendous job with that team. Currently, John Bach, who unfortunately passed away a few years back, but was my best friend on that team. Trying to think of who else than me.
And who was the staff?
Drew Trost, Javier Heredia, who's at IUN now.
Doing an exceptional job over
job.
There.
And then Coach Ulrich, who was kind of like the older, more wise dad to us all.
Remember the region round ball classic that used to be held here in Hammond. I think you guys beat us when Adonis was there. I was held to 2 points. My boy Mario Bravo. We got Next Hoops has a huge social following. And when I was at Hammond Morton watching games, Bishop Noe in particular, he was like, man, I wish they would bring back the Region Round Ball Classic. And I was like, don't bring that up again, because I had 2 points. Bishop Noe did a really good job on the defensive side, you know, holding me to 2 points. But I remember that day like it was yesterday, that whole event. It was good for the community. What's been some of your memorable moments when you were an athlete and now at Big Shoulders?
So when I took over as athletic director, I think I was still – I mean, I still remember all the times and all the great athletic moments that I was able to, you know, to take part in.
Right.
And that's what I wanted to give back to the kids, was that opportunity to be highlighted, that opportunity to have success, the opportunity to learn from their losses, to go, you know, have a tough schedule, but also have some winnable games, or have the opportunity to make postseason, or just, you know, have the opportunity to play multiple sports like I did. And that was something I wanted to provide as an athletic director, that I've wanted to provide as a coach for the years that I've coached at IU Northwest. And also, you know, in this role now, we don't focus really much at all on athletics,
right,
but we focus on the experience of the student as a whole.
Right.
So we work with the schools to make sure that they're providing the best experience for their students and families. And it's all encompassing. You know, if we can provide to make sure that they're having a great experience like we all did growing up,
right,
it's gonna be beneficial.
I think we're in the class of millennials, right? Then you got the Gen Zs and you got the older crowd. How important was it for you to follow your passion and to be happy to do what you do every day? Because I think we do an exceptional job of putting ourselves in position to do something that we enjoy to do every day, because then you have the opinions of, well, you necessarily don't have to do what you love just to pay the bills.
Yeah, it's super important. It makes waking up a little easier. It makes going to work a little easier. It makes the stress of life a little easier.
Right.
You know, I don't think any role necessarily is going to be 100% happy all the time. I'm sure in the jobs that you have and, you know, your day-to-day, you're still going to be stressed, even probably with this podcast from time to time and, you know, some of the other things that you do within the community. There's always going to be stress. It's life. It's always going to be either within your job, within your personal life, you know, at some capacity. But being able to rely on, you know, following your dream and your passion and having that be kind of like the path of your life, I think, is probably the most important and will allow you to navigate and stay in a better mind space moving forward in life.
Did you guys achieve all the goals you guys put for 2022 on you guys' calendar? Did you guys nail those goals going into 23 at Big Shoulders?
Yeah, I think we did. Like I said, I came in March, so a lot of my goals, definitely, I was able to.
What were some of your goals and responsibilities when you took on that big assignment?
Yeah, so I work, again, a lot with the schools with marketing enrollment. So obviously, I always kind of tell myself that marketing is probably like 70% of the job, you know, the 80%, because if you don't market, the enrollment's probably not going to happen. And the enrollment is really like as important as it is. If no one really knows about your school, knows about what you offer, knows about, you know, what you do within your communities, you're not going to reach those people who are going to be interested in enrolling most likely. So a lot of what I wanted to do was just get in touch with the schools, provide them assistance, start like monthly touch bases with some marketing webinars that I provide for the schools that we started this school year. You know, make sure the enrollments are increasing, which obviously I won't say that's all on me by any means coming in almost halfway through the school year, but it shows that, you know, a lot of the efforts that were before me with Big Shoulders Fund, a lot of the efforts that, you know, the schools have done on their end, it's a collaborative effort. It's not just me, but it's working, you know. And
do you guys still have the Young Professionals Program 23? Are you guys are doing any mentorship for young kids in high school that they could be a part of, or any upcoming events
you want to share? Luke Herangode, another
legend, played at Notre Dame.
Another region legend when it comes to basketball. I believe he attended St. Mike's, one of our schools, and then Andrean, another one of our schools, and then obviously Notre Dame, and played professionally. He actually he lives in Chicago and has been a part of the organization even prior to me joining. Doesn't work for us, but, you know, provides assistance and gets involved in a lot of our mission. And he wanted to start a mentorship program that he has done over the last 2 years, I believe now, at Bishop Knoll with, I think, three of their senior boys. So he's been providing some mentorship to those kids since their junior years, I believe. Maybe their sophomore years, they're seniors now. And basically, he meets with them regularly throughout the school year.
Think he'll do the podcast?
I think if you reach out to him, you might be interested. He's definitely busy. He just had twins.
Luke Herangode's like 6'10". What is he, 6'10"?
Yeah, he's a big guy. He's a big guy. But he just had twins, so I know this past fall has been a little hectic for him. But I don't see why he wouldn't want to join.
Yeah,
so
normally for the people who don't get in contact with, I just tweet them from the podcast page, and hopefully it gets their attention. I'm going to throw some rapid fire questions at you. Mm-hmm. I wanted you to elaborate on what you thought of the World Cup. I went through your Twitter timeline and Facebook to see, you know, what you've been interested in most. Mm-hmm. And I know that you're a fan of soccer.
Yes.
And it's big in Europe, you know, bigger than it is here. But for some reason, I think a lot of our peers was more in tune with the World Cup than ever.
So. Yeah. And I'm one of those people, so I'm not going to sit here by any means. I love soccer. Uh-huh. I played soccer. I think it's a beautiful sport. I always, you know, hear all the criticisms of, you know, it's slow and they don't score enough and this, that, and the other. I played it. I love it. I love watching it. Now, by no means am I like a day-to-day soccer fanatic. Like,
Who's your favorite club?
Barcelona probably, but that my son's a big Lionel Messi fan.
Gotcha.
So, you know, we just follow pretty much Lionel Messi, whatever he does. But he was in tune with it because of the fact that Lionel Messi was involved, obviously. So it was really fun for him as like a 7-year-old to really, as he's starting to get a grasp on sports.
That's awesome.
To see one of his idols that he has seen on YouTube and, you know, and other parts of like social media and like commercials have the opportunity to play in a World Cup, which for him, this is the first time he's ever watched the World Cup. And for the only player that he knew in the entire, you know, pool of players and see him actually win, you know, the title in the World Cup was a cool opportunity for him and a cool opportunity for us to kind of watch.
When I was in Europe, I was Switzerland in particular. Obviously, only practiced twice a day, 4 hours out the day. So I got the whole time to myself. So I'm on Netflix, and I got engaged with soccer when I watched Juventus. Mm-hmm. And then I followed their documentary on Netflix, and then I see Cristiano Ronaldo had went over there, and obviously he left Manchester to go to a billion-dollar club now to get paid a lucrative amount of dough. And I think that watching the World Cup, it gave me a lot of inspiration because of the passion that you see those players and how they compete.
It means everything to them.
It's not just money, as you can see when they're out there. Yeah. It's like they're playing for their families, their last name, the club, their country.
I mean, you see the fans and how involved and how much it means to them. I remember listening to the broadcast for the World Cup final, and I think they had mentioned that, you know, they had spoken to a few fans who have used all their life savings just to be able to punch a ticket to go see Argentina play in the World Cup final.
Did you see Argentina and how they all came out to support?
Mm-hmm. That just shows how much that means to that country, and it's a beautiful thing.
I was watching the podcast because I didn't follow soccer as much, right? But the World Cup was very popular, and it was me like, okay, let me expand my horizon. So I would watch it, be entertained, of course, because of the passion, and the players reminded me of how I played, just blue collar, a lot of urgency, and I would listen to a podcast to dissect every World Cup match, and Argentina wasn't predicted to win because I think they started 0-2 in the beginning. Yeah, so I saw that on your timeline. Your favorite sports team, basketball?
Bulls, unfortunately, right now.
Donovan Mitchell had 71 points. When you saw Donovan Mitchell 71 points and you saw DeMar DeRozan try to shoot a game winner fadeaway at the United Center, and I'm watching Zach LaVine face a half court, and I could just tell no one was on the same page.
It's definitely tough to watch. It's tough to watch, especially because of all the tough years the Bulls have gone through in the last decade. You know, never really making that jump where LeBron just continued to one up us during the Derrick Rose years, the Joakim Noah years, the Luol Deng years. You know, and then kind of hit rock bottom again for the better part of the decade, to finally having somewhat of an exciting year last year. It wasn't by any means a great year, but it was enough to make the playoffs. Started off hot for the first half of the season before obviously the All-Star break, and then injury started to set in. But that gave a little bit of a taste of like, we're here, we're on the edge, we're on the cusp. And it got me excited again. I used to watch every game, and you get busy as you get older. You know, I'm married now, and I got a kid, and we got
full
things going
life.
On.
Yeah.
So I don't watch as much as I used to. But when they're good, you make a little bit more of a concerted effort to try to watch a game or two and sit down and watch these. But going into this year, I was excited. I thought there was a chance to kind of get over that hump. I was a little concerned that not a lot of moves were made in the off season, but I was hoping health would be here, and unfortunately that neither's working out, and it's been a tough year to watch.
It's hard when you make 37 mil, right? You look at these players' contracts, and Billy Donovan is a phenomenal coach. When I used to watch him at Florida, and to see him be livid on the bench, and you really can't call out a player right then and there. You know, it got to be behind closed doors, and I can only imagine his frustration that he has to go through.
Yeah.
Rob, you a Bulls fan?
Yeah, I am. It's
what's your thoughts? Also, guys, Rob's producing this podcast, so thank you so much, Rob. Also,
no problem.
I want to give you the flowers for that. But I wanted to ask you, were you a Bulls fan? And Kobe White, I'm a big question mark on when he comes off the bench. And Kevin Love gave us buckets here on New Year's Eve, and then Donovan Mitchell at 71. What was your thoughts when you were seeing back-to-back games?
See, it's rough to watch, especially I feel like with Kobe, he's not really necessarily fitting the system anymore. There's too many of that similar type player that we have going, and they've been really trying to push Io a lot more, especially him being from the city.
And he's still young.
He's
looking for a leader, and I don't think there's no leadership on the Bulls.
Yeah, they really should have. I believe that last season at the deadline, they should have moved to get Jeremy Grant, moving Patrick Williams and Kobe White. They would have had to make contracts work a little bit more with somebody else, but bringing someone in like that to replace and have more guys going, it would have fit a lot better. But now you see the struggles.
No, it's I became an avid Bulls fan because a lot of my coworkers in the office are big time Bulls fans, and I didn't want to be left out on the conversation.
It's better for Chicago when the Bulls are playing. I mean, it's an unreal atmosphere. It's an unreal time of the year if the Bulls are competing in the East. So it's unfortunate to see that, you know, they've struggled. And I don't really know how they're going to figure it out.
I don't think so either. I was hearing talks that Mark Cuban was interested in covering Zach LaVine's tap. So we'll see, because we'll obviously he's pretty huge. Favorite baseball team?
White Sox.
Catch me up on the White Sox. I don't follow the Cubs or the White Sox.
Yeah, they're in a similar situation as the Bulls, really? Unfortunately. Yeah, it was another kind of rise to see, you know, 2 years ago, not even this past season, 2 years ago, to the point where it was like, okay, we've had two consecutive playoff appearances.
Right.
We're going to do something. We have the talent. We have everything. And then something happened. I mean, they were, I don't want to put all the onus on the manager. It's a combination. The players still got to go out and play. They still got to perform. It just, whatever it was, it didn't work.
Right.
and it did. Does that start with probably the manager? Yeah. Does that start with leadership on the team? Yeah. I absolutely, 100%. I don't want to, you know, pinpoint one person. But whatever, you know, equation they thought they were putting together to make a championship run that they were supposed to make this past season, it didn't happen, and we didn't even make
the
playoffs.
You go to White Sox games often?
Fortunate enough to go to probably five or six this past year.
How do you maintain the whole nine-game innings there? Or do you leave like around six innings?
No, I stay. I am one of those sporting guys who you get there and then you stay until the end, whether it's a 40-point loss,
right,
whether it's a 12-run loss, you know, I'm there until the end. Unless, you know, someone's with me and I don't have the ability to leave on my own normally I try to stay all the way to the end.
So Favorite beverage to get while watching the game? Because mine's was, I got a Coors Light when I went to Northwestern basketball game versus Ohio State. And I got the email that they're selling wine and beer, and one of my buddies sent me a ticket, and I was there. So favorite go-to beverage to go to a baseball game?
To go to a baseball game? Well, when it was the White Sox, for me, it was Modelo, because that was the drink that was their sponsor.
Yeah, like $15.
Yeah,
$15.
So, unfortunately for me, it's more probably tailgating than it is purchasing it in the park because of how expensive the drinks get in there. But it's just part of the experience. I mean, the sunshine, the sitting out there, the hot dogs, the drinks.
Right.
I played baseball growing up. It was probably my first love as a sport. So, you know, it's one of those sports kind of very similar to soccer. I understand the issues with, like, it's not as fast-paced. It's not
right.
as potentially high-scoring. Sometimes it's a pitcher's duel the whole game, and it's one to nothing, and there's two hits. I get it. I get all those facets of, you know, how that doesn't really compare to the speed and the excitement of football and basketball right now, and how those games have evolved to really be you know, as much of attention grabbers for,
right.
you know, younger kids these days.
I got to do a better job too, Eric, man. I wish I follow more baseball from White Sox to Cubs. That's a go, right? I've been following them in the Bulls, so I'll listen to podcasts on Bears and baseball just to have some sort of idea on what direction they're going. Like, I've been following the Bulls closely, Rob, and I'll listen to, like, multiple podcasts on the Bulls, and I'll put my common sense on basketball and then start following the Bulls, because when you work in Chicago and you spend a lot of time in Chicago, you're across a whole bunch of Bulls fans, mm-hmm. right? And then you're across White Sox and fans, and some individuals who may not like you for whatever reason, everyone come together on the topic of sports. So I've been starting to branch out and learn more about, now I will, for baseball, and I've been following the Bears. And mm-hmm. I know the Bears are not good this year. Have you been following the Bears?
No, yeah, I've been following them.
So is that your favorite football team?
Yeah, favorite football team. I mean, it's been rough. The last three teams that we've talked about that are my favorite teams have not been good. The Bears are my favorite football team. The Sox are my favorite baseball team, and the Bulls are my favorite basketball team. And collectively, they're all in shambles right now. So it's been rough to be a fan of all three teams. I'm a diehard of every single one of them. But the one that probably has the most promise moving forward is the Bears. So, you know, this year was something that I think all fans knew wasn't going to be an exciting year by any means,
right.
in regards to, like, box score,
right.
But an exciting year to see potential development, especially of Justin Fields. So that has been exciting.
I've been hearing a lot about Justin Fields.
Yeah, he's been tremendous. But unfortunately, you know, until better pieces are put around him, hopefully, and obviously he continues to grow in his you know, abilities and continued reps. It should be a good maybe one or two more years till we probably get to a point where they're exciting again. But, you know, football's always fun. Football's a short enough season where it makes it fun just to watch it week to week.
Rob, what about you, man? What are your favorite baseball team and favorite football team, and elaborate on both those teams?
All right, so where I was – I'm pretty much in the same boat as you. I'm actually – I grew up a Cubs fan, but, you know, just with tickets being so expensive, Sox games is just the way to go all the time. But I really did enjoy what the Sox did this offseason, getting Andrew Benintendi, which is actually their biggest contract, free agent contract ever, which is crazy to think
about.
Yeah. And also getting Mike Clevinger helps the pitching rotation. But I'm also a Bears fan. I'm actually an insane Bears fan, season ticket holder as well,
nice.
Me and my dad. So I went to plenty of games this year. I was there on Christmas Eve when – you know,
nice.
Freezing temperature. What
was your, I tried to find someone to go with.
What was your starter kit? What was your starter kit, knowing that you're going to an outdoors event in New Year's Eve?
All right.
Well, it wasn't that cold this New Year's Eve.
It was
Christmas Eve.
So the first major thing was socks. Like, in, I had 5 pairs of socks and still couldn't feel my toes. Had about, I think, 3 pairs of sweats and jeans, and then like I only had a couple hoodies on, though. You know, it wasn't too bad after all of that. You know, it was just all that matters is your fingers and toes, and I lost my toes around around halftime, and it was miserable the rest of the game.
I went to the I think it was probably not anymore, but it was the 7th coldest Bears game. Mm-hmm. I checked going into obviously that game. I'm sure now it's probably the 8th. But it was the Packers Bears back in, I believe, 2016.
Okay.
And it was like middle of December, and I don't remember how cold it was, but I just remember it was probably, I think it was teetering on one of the coldest games in NFL history. And then obviously as it got closer to that day, the temperature rose a little bit. Me and my dad had went, but it wasn't like we had bought tickets because it was cold. We bought tickets 2 months in advance. And it just happened to be really cold that day. So we went, and it's a pretty cool thing to talk about how it was, you know, the 7th coldest Bears game in team history. I tried to call him back when I found out the tickets were $10 and that we can maybe hit a second top 10 game with the Bills. He wasn't having it. Neither was my father-in-law. So unfortunately I stayed home and watched it from the television, but, props to you for making that trip, because I know how cold it can get.
Yeah, it was a little difficult, especially, you know, I was knowing I wanted to go anyways. You know, I had the tickets, but then I was looking at the prices of tickets. Got like 8th row for $50.
Yeah,
Never sat that close in my life, so why not? You know, why not just go for it?
Last segment, I'm getting on topic of sports. I'm getting into DraftKings and FanDuel. Right, I hear a lot of my buddies talk about. The picks that they're going, so I'm having coffee this morning and I'm looking at what game I'm gonna bet on, and I'm gonna start with like Belmont and UIC, right? I know both those small teams, and I'm gonna just start off with $20 and work my way up, and hopefully not get addicted to it. So those are like my goals, is learning more about the Bears, going to more baseball games, and just expanding, you know, my horizons on knowledge, because as you get older, a lot of people stop learning.
Yeah.
Right.
No,
and I'm hitting absolutely. The 30 mark, and I was listening to someone who said people in their 30s stop learning because they think they have the world figured out. What's some of your goals that you have professionally that you have that you want to tackle this year?
Yeah, I definitely agree with you that there is a certain point, I think, that people kind of potentially plateau and achieve everything that they want to achieve, and that's totally. It's amazing, you know what I mean, if you can get to that point. Unfortunately, and fortunately, I guess, the way that I'm wired, I'm always looking to grow. I'm always looking to learn. I'm always looking for new experiences. I'm always looking for new opportunities. That just kind of excites me and keeps me motivated. Fortunately, I'm in a really good place right now. I genuinely enjoy my job. Recently got married.
Yeah.
You know, I live 2 minutes up the road.
That's awesome.
And, you know, we got our son in school and playing sports and just doing the full-blown dad thing. So I'm extremely blessed and happy where I'm at now. I don't see any sort of crazy, like, big moves happening.
Right.
Anytime soon, you know, professionally, you know, with family and everything like that. But I will say that, you know, I'm always looking for little opportunities to stay involved within the community, whether that's, you know, an opportunity to serve here or serve there or just being a part of different organizations that are helping out with community outreach and things like that. So I want to continue to be as involved as I can be at Bishop Knoll. Obviously, it's a place dear to my heart as an alum, as a student athlete that played there, and then obviously as someone who served as athletic director in the past. So, you know, trying to get involved in my son's school at St. John the Baptist in Whiting, because that's where he's at,
right.
But also that's where I went, you know, and I have roots there as well. So I don't have any major goals on paper. And if I did, I'm usually the type of guy that likes to keep them close to the chest.
Well, you're doing a fantastic job,
until it happens,
man.
But
I'll give you
your
flowers.
There's a few things in my head that I want to achieve.
You're doing a fantastic job, man. You should be proud of yourself, especially being from Bishop Knoll and then being a student athlete, you know, at the highest level on varsity level, going down state. Interacting with the people you've been doing to share your experience, right?
Yep.
And now, you know, you assist with Hav. I want you to give Hav his flowers before we get off on the podcast and talk about the exceptional job he's doing at IUN.
Absolutely. He has been a huge mentor for me. He basically gave me my first opportunity to get into the sports realm out of college.
Because you went to Trine.
Yeah,
right.
I went to Trine University.
Let people know
in
you went to Trine, yeah.
So I didn't go to play. I went thinking I had an opportunity to play probably like some B team college basketball at D3, and very quickly matured enough to realize that like there was no future for me playing.
Right.
My future was getting my education and getting involved with either coaching or some sort of, you know, role that kind of just kept me within sports. And that's what I decided to do very quickly. And I was fortunate that you know, me and Hav kept in touch. Being that he was my assistant coach at Bishop Knoll for those 4 years. And there's a long, funny story of how that played out that I'll tell you one day when we meet up off air. But he gave me the opportunity. I drove up a few times in the spring of my senior year, and I was able to kind of jump on staff as a volunteer at the time. And then little did we know in a few months after I graduated and jumped on staff, you know, for as a volunteer, that he was going to, you know, the previous coach, athletic director, was going to be transitioning out to a different role where he was from in New York, and have had the opportunity to take over as head coach. I had the opportunity to move up my first year as a head assistant, and we went with it. And I mean, I wouldn't have had the opportunity to go to Knoll. I wouldn't have had the opportunity to be where I'm at here now if it wasn't for, you know, the opportunity that IUN and he gave me, and Shelton, Ryan Shelton at IUN gave me to get stay involved with athletics there. So IUN's been a huge stepping stone for me, and I'll always definitely have the highest respect for Coach Hav and all the opportunities he was able to give me.
Very, very last question, Eric, and I'm going to let you go. Favorite playing system, and what did your kid ask for Christmas? Was it an Xbox or a PS5?
So I'm going to be a really bad parent right now and say that he is totally cooped up on – well, he likes handheld. He's handheld guy still. So
okay,
he's on his iPad.
Guy.
He's on his Switch.
Okay, big Switch guy.
Those are his two things. I did have the opportunity to dust off my old PS3 from a few years back and provide that
to
him.
So you're a PlayStation guy.
Yeah, I provided that to him.
I'm
as like,
big
hey,
Xbox
man, like,
guy.
You know, before I go spend a crazy amount of money on a new system, like maybe you should try this one out with the old wired controllers. And for him at, you know, 5, 6 years old, he thought that was the new thing and he was all into it. And then I was fortunate enough that a buddy of mine, Sean Hall, who I worked with at Bishop Knoll, he was trying to get rid of his Xbox and happened to just hand it over to my son Adrian, and he kind of inherited that as a free gift and played that for a little while and has been enjoying that. But I am not about to spend any big money. I'm not a big, big video guy, video game guy myself. But he's right now for him, it's everything handheld.
I'm a big Xbox guy. I'm a big Best Buy credit card user. I just went and financed the Xbox Series X. I put like a 36-month payment on it.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm paying in installments like $10 a month.
Yeah.
I'm a big Call of Duty guy. So Rick Costello, if you're listening, I've been trying to join your e-gaming team for Call of Duty. let me talk to the guy in charge and have him on the podcast to talk about Purdue Northwest New e-gaming, because you guys can go to school on a scholarship to play video games.
Yeah.
You know, that's new.
I will say one thing you'll be happy with that Santa brought him this year was a brand-new basketball hoop. So that'll be put up here in the spring. He was dunking on his little miniature one. He started on, you know, everyone starts on the Fisher-Price.
Was you the parent that bought him, like, a little mini Lamborghini and Hummer truck?
No.
Okay.
My dad still my parents still had like the old school Jeep one, red one, oh,
okay,
I had when
classic.
I was little, and my dad's an electrician was able to bring that back to life for him, so he has the opportunity to ride around one of those when I go to my parents' house. But no, right
That's
now it's all he loves the sports, and we'll get a nice little basketball hoop set up in the spring summer, and he'll be shooting on that.
Also, want to thank you guys too at Big Shoulders, you and Giselle, for sponsoring the DeJuan Moreau basketball camp.
Absolutely.
First annual. I'm looking forward to having it again in June. I really appreciate that. It meant a lot to the kids. I thought it was a great turnout. I remember vividly. I think it was like 63 to 65 kids mm-hmm. that participated. Rafael Davis, when you listen, and thank you again. Because we have our NIBC event this upcoming week here in LaPorte. Some of the teams we'll be having at the LaPorte Invitational at the LaPorte Civics Auditorium, January 5th through the 7th. We have Wasatch versus Lalamere, Montvert versus Sunrise Christian, Bishop Walsh out of Maryland versus Lehigh out of New York. All these schools are coming from Utah, Florida, South Carolina, Arizona, and Friday, January 6th, we have Simeon out of Chicago versus Cathedral on ESPN2 at 4 o'clock. We have the Reuben twins. One kid is going to Northern Illinois, and then the other kid is going to Loyola, Chicago. And then Xavier Booker, who plays for Cathedral, he is the number 2 prospect in the country, and he is going to Michigan State. So those are games this week at the LaPorte Civic Auditorium. So if you guys are in the region and want to see some basketball, come out, see me. I'll be baseline filming. I do have on a In Roman We Trust. Roman Penn is a Bishop Knoll alum. He's currently the starting guard at Drake University. This is part of his NIL deal. And my good friend Dave Maravella, who's CEO at Bosco, hand me the shirt, and I wanted to wear it on air in support of Roman Penn, who's doing really good things at Drake University. So, again, guys, thank you for allowing me to talk to you guys for this hour. Rob, thank you for producing. Eric, thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me. It was nice to be on the podcast again. I think I was on episode like 33
during the pandemic.
It was right before.
Yeah. When you was one of the youngest ADs in Indiana.
My first fall, I think you stopped.
Probably in the country. So I wanted to revisit the conversation because you've grown a lot. I wanted to have you on here and just share your journey. And what else is going on before I get off? I think the YMCA. I'm really not a fan of the YMCA in Schererville. I went yesterday, and it was crowded. It was hot. There was no weights available. I was on the Stairmaster for the past 30 minutes, and then I did a full one-mile walk while watching UK take on LSU. So if we could get more gyms here in the region or a different option for me to spend my money, because $42 a month is just not worth it, especially when I can't lift. So. I'm really not a fan of the Y, man. The every time I go is overly crowded. There's no room, and I miss the Omni.
I will say though, the Y is a big fan of me because I continue to pay for a membership that I have not visited in a long time. So
the Hammond one is nice.
You might not be a fan of them, yeah. But they're a huge fan of me right now.
The Hammond Y though in the morning is best to go.
I live right next to that one, so I gotta start going there.
I go in the mornings. I start off Stairmaster. Weights are available, but it's the new year. Everyone wants to be in the gym.
Yeah.
So I'm going to wait till it gets colder and try to see if there's another option. So if you guys have any recommendations, feel free to reach out to me on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at DeJuan Moreau. Oh, I do remember what I had to say. Next week, next Wednesday, Coach Jason Hawkins, head coach at Trinity Christian College. He used to be at Valpo. He offered me when I was in eighth grade with Homer Drew and the Drews in general, when they were at the staff at Valpo. So he's coming on to talk about his region connection and his ties, and I'm excited to have him on. So head coach Jason Hawkins will be on next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Again, thank you guys for listening, and take care.
Appreciate it.
once there was a way to get back home. Once there was a way to get back home.